In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And O Lord, the jackpot this week in the Powerball lottery is $16 bajillion. If I win that jackpot, I promise that I will give half of it away. $4 bajillion to the church, $4 bajillion to people in need. A flood of money is exactly what I need right now. My rent is so very high. I've not had a pay raise in several years. I have car payments and house payments, phone and cable bills. I have student loan debts. I have children in child care, children in college, and aging parents to take care of. And the hospital keeps sending me bills for the surgery that I needed last year. And at the end of the week, I am lucky if there is enough left over to support my Starbucks habit. But if in my hand I now hold the winning numbers, O Lord, then I will most certainly share my abundance with you and with those around me. You know my word is good, and you know how good my heart is. No doubt every Christian person has said a version of this to himself or to herself at least once in their lifetime, and perhaps sometimes several times each week. Sometimes there's a version of this in which we seek to bargain with God. We try to sweeten the pot. We try and seal the deal to out-trump the Donald himself. Lord, I'm a good person. Could you imagine the good that we could do together as partners if I am holding the winning ticket? My church would be set for life and my personal problems will disappear. The church can pay its bills and open a new soup kitchen, and I can bid my creditors a fond farewell. It would be a win-win situation, Lord. You get what you need, and so do I. And yet each week, the bills get bigger, the needs around us, they grow more urgent, and someone else keeps winning the lottery. And there is, of course, nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with this beautiful desire to share and to be generous with others. There's nothing wrong with that. Sharing, in fact, is something that we were created to do. We were created to find life in and with one another. We are commanded, as we know, not just to love God with all that we have, with heart, mind, soul, and strength, but we are also commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. And when Jesus first sends out the chosen 12 to heal and to preach, he makes this very clear. He does so by saying to them, "Freely you have received, now you go and freely give." But too often we want to be generous on our own terms. Too often our good desire to share, it changes into a sinful desire to take care of others, but only after I've taken care of myself. We say, "I know my neighbor and my church need my help, but I am just not in a position to share with them at the moment. Once I get my life in order, once I can stand on my own two feet, once I can build up my savings a little bit, then I can reach out and do the good things that Jesus commands." And of course, Lord, of course, if you're listening, don't forget that winning the lottery would greatly speed things up. But true generosity, true love, it doesn't work that way. Jesus is not our Savior because he holds a winning lottery ticket. He is our Savior because he carries the cross. And the desire to take care of others only after I've taken care of myself is not the way of the cross. It's not the way of love. Love, we know, is costly. It is not something that we can do from a zone of personal comfort. We give in too easily to the sin of me first, you later. In most cases, the you later part gets pushed back further and further into the future. There just never seems to be enough time, there never seems to be enough money and attention to give to the church and to those who are in need around us in our communities. In the gospel reading this morning, we receive an image of what true sharing is supposed to look like. From St. Luke, we hear the story once again of the Gadarene swine, of the Gerasene swine, of the Gergesene swine. We get this story several times during the church year. We hear of the man named Legion because of the great legion of demons which torment him. Jesus, we hear from St. Luke, he delivers Legion from his tormentors by casting those demons into a herd of swine, and these swine in their madness destroy themselves by running off a cliff and drowning themselves in the sea. The villagers, according to St. Luke, they are not so pleased. They see the floating bodies of their dead swine, and Scripture says that they turn to Jesus and they beg him to leave. These Gadarene villagers have had a taste of what it means to really share. And they decide in response that this is not for us. This is not for us. Jesus grabs their attention. He grabs our attention. And he demonstrates so vividly that love is a costly thing. Love doesn't wait on wealth. In earthly terms, at least, love destroys wealth. The healing of Legion required a sacrifice from his neighbors, and Christ takes the sinful attitude of me first and you later. He takes that attitude and he blows it out of the water. He drowns it in the water, really, literally. True sharing, godly sharing, is the very opposite. True sharing, Christ-like sharing, reverses this attitude and says, you first, me later. You first, me later. Even if it means that our herds must take a hit. The Gadarenes very much got the message. For too long, they kept their wealth to themselves, refusing to help the brother who suffered. For too long, they said to Legion, me first, you later. When the herd gets big enough, Legion, we will sell a few and give you what you need. But Christ comes and he calls them to repentance and he demonstrates what true love looks like. And Christ says to the Gadarenes, Legion first, your personal comfort later. This is the call to repentance, and this is what the Gadarenes reject. There will be no more sharing, not if it requires such an earthly cost. The Gadarenes are happy to sit back and wait for the jackpot, to wait for the winning ticket, and to wait for wealth. They are happy to say to the other legions around them, still, it's me first and you later. But the same call to repentance, the one rejected by the Gadarenes, the same call, of course, now lays at our feet, having heard it from St. Luke. And Christ calls us this morning to rediscover what it means to labor with him and to bring healing to those who need it. Christ calls us this morning and he says to us, freely you have received, now you also freely give. He calls us to come this morning and to receive mercy and forgiveness and grace from the hand of the one who was nailed to the cross by the very children he came to gather and to live with. Christ does not command us to share without also showing us what divine sharing really looks like. And brothers and sisters, it does not look like a winning lottery ticket. It does not look like a big bank account. It does not look like a swollen retirement portfolio. The great image of sharing is the image of the cross. On the cross, Jesus does not say, me first, you later. He doesn't even say, you first, me later. On the cross, there is nothing but love. Even the torture of a grueling death could not provoke Christ into defending himself and to protecting his own. Our choice this morning is between seeking more swine and sharing as God has shared with us. And the call from Christ is to reject the jackpot dreams of the gathering villagers and to get down to business, the business of sharing what we've already received. After he was healed, Legion begs Jesus to allow him to follow him. But Christ says no. It's very interesting. Christ says no. I have a different task for you. He says to Legion, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. But Legion disobeys. I don't know if you catch this. Go home and proclaim what God has done for you. And Legion doesn't do this exactly. St. Luke relates that Legion went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Legion does not wait for wealth and comfort. Legion does not wait to land on Mr. Forbes' list before sharing with others what Jesus has done for him. And neither should we wait. We should go forth as Legion does and proclaim through our cities the good work that Jesus has done for us. Amen.